Butler. She'll be talking with muralist Dan Kitchener and Ink People director Libby Maynard. Have a great week.
Thank you for spending your Tuesday, the 25th of July, with KHSU. I'm Wendy Butler, and this program is called Art Waves. Today's program has two interviews connected by one topic, the City of Eureka's multiple-year strategic arts plan. Later in the program, my guest is the Ink People Center for the Arts Executive Director, Libby Maynard. The Ink People was the lead organization involved in creation of and planning for the Eureka Cultural Arts District, which this month was one of 14 districts statewide chosen as premier state-designated cultural districts. Eureka's strategic arts plan is all about identifying, protecting, and developing Eureka's arts and culture. And one of the projects articulated in phase one of the plan is the cleanup and beautifying of Opera Alley, which is between 2nd and 3rd Streets, covering approximately C to H Streets in Old Town Eureka. And speaking of Opera Alley, UK artist Dan Kitchener just this past week finished his mural. Electric City covers the 3rd Street facing side of the historic 1884 Buna building at 2nd and G Streets. Dan Kitchener was commissioned by Kevin Bork and his Black Fawn Art Project group to paint the mural, which Kitchener describes on his website as his largest mural to date. It is 50 feet high and 70 feet wide, and he painted it in 8 days. Kitchener's work has exhibited throughout the world, from Japan to Australia to Germany and across the UK. He was able to speak with me by phone from his hotel room in San Francisco shortly before he was to travel back to the UK and then on to another mural project.
It's very important for me to control the whole process, literally from those very first few lines to the very finish, the very last few lines. I mean, everything has to be done by me. Everything has to be controlled by me. That might sound a bit kind of
controlling.
But the thing is, for me, it isn't just about the final image. It's about the whole process. There's certain ways that people can do murals, and they project things, or they, you know, and they trace the outlines and they do these kind of things. I don't do any of that. I have to freehand it all myself, all by eye, and all the imagery that I base it on is taken from my own photography. So when I travel to different countries, I take photographs, and it's a real point of principle for me to make sure that everything I do is based on everything. You know, it comes from me because it's a piece of art. It's not a billboard. It's not advertising. It's not just about that image. It's about the whole process, it's about honing skills as well. So it's very important.
Now, the scene that is on the side of the building, I'm just looking at some text that was written about it by the newspaper, based on a modern day Tokyo street scene. But I want you to elaborate on that and why you chose to put that on the outside of that building.
It isn't necessarily a modern day Tokyo.
Okay.
It's more influence. It's definitely got a Tokyo influence very strongly, definitely. But I like to keep my cityscapes quite ambiguous so people can interpret them and read into the image what they, you know, what they think, what they feel. And I had people saying, is it San Francisco? Is it Seattle? Is it New York? Is it London? So everyone was kind of seeing these different influences. For me, the stronger influence would be Tokyo, But it's nice to see that other people, you know, can see other places in there. And there's definitely a bit of New York in there as well. I've been to New York a few times, and that's kind of influenced my work as well, because it's quite an epic city. I don't like to be too specific. I recognize there's some kind of Japanese writing, some sort of neon signs. But I mean, you know, most big cities have a kind of Chinatown or sort of a Japanese area. So it's kind of, maybe it's, you know, it's suggesting that kind of thing rather than it being specifically Tokyo. And the reason I chose that, it's a difficult decision. I have a lot of different ideas, and I had a lot of different possible ideas for the mural. But I only really decide on what I'm going to paint when I actually literally stand in front of the wall. Mm. So I can't really decide from a photograph that I'm emailed. I have to literally stand there. So it was kind of more of a feeling of how big the wall was and what kind of landscape, cityscape would suit the dimensions and the kind of the way that people view the wall. So I wanted something that had a lot of height, because obviously the wall's very high, but mm-hmm. I also wanted something that drew you into the center, the absolute dead center of it. So it was kind of logical to then have that kind of composition where you've got roads leading into a central focus. It's actually quite a simple composition. It's just a cross composition. So, you know, the edges top left of the wall draw you out, and then you kind of get drawn in by the road. So it's kind of it leads you to that center point. So I mean that kind of aware of composition drives a lot of what I decide. And in this instance, yeah, it had to have this kind of leading aspect, especially as you approach. You never approach that wall directly straight on. You always approach it from either the left or the right. So the traffic leads the viewer into the image. So it kind of. So I'm very, very conscious of how people will actually view the wall. It's not just a question of slapping any image on the wall and hoping people will look at it in the right way. It's about leading people into that image, and hopefully they kind of look in more detail and kind of explore it. And by doing that, I guess people become sort of part of it, and they become immersed in it, which is the other thing as well, because it takes over your peripheral vision almost. Well, it does, because it's so large. So you actually then become in the city. You're actually sort of transported into the city, which is something that I'm really, really keen on, especially on larger walls, is to have that kind of immersive window into another world, which is, I think, is really cool.
And it's absolutely another world, because I'm sure you were able to go around Old Town, you know, in the Eureka area, and you know, one thing, you painted that mural on the outside of a very old building.
I was actually staying in the building as well, which was even better, because I kind of had a real feel for the mm-hmm. the building and the kind of location. I mean, it was very, very cool to see Old Town Eureka, which I think is an absolutely beautiful place.
Yeah, and then another thing is Old Town Eureka is quite far from what one thinks of when one thinks of a big city.
Yeah, totally.
And so you talk about, and I'm looking at your mural right now, or I'm looking at a photograph of it, and you do get swallowed into your cityscape that you've created.
Yeah.
But my goodness, it is quite different than what we see when we turn around and we look at Old Town Eureka.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I quite like the, for me, creatively, as an artist, I like the idea of cross-pollination of cities. I mean, I'm fortunate enough that I get to travel quite a lot with my art, and I get to paint murals in a lot of different cities worldwide. And what I do try and do is I try and get influenced by the cities that I'm in. And then I try and take those cities to other cities to kind of cross-pollinate and to kind of bring these different environments to other environments. It's not so much about education or trying to educate people, because that's kind of patronizing and and a bit maybe egotistical, but I like the idea of bringing other places to, you know, to other places, because for me it's all new places, so I quite like that. But I'm also aware that some people prefer maybe local landmarks and local kind of imagery to be painted, but I personally don't see so much value in that. I think having something exciting and new is a more sort of maybe a more energizing use of the space, and it's more exciting, I think. But there's definitely value in obviously painting local landmarks. I mean, I think there's value in both. So I think there's a space for both approaches. It's just that my approach is the latter. They're bringing new places.
Now, you were commissioned to do this mural by Kevin Bork. Well, the Black Fawn Art Project Group is what he's calling it.
Yes.
Did you know each other before this, or did he just find you when he had an idea that he wanted to do, to have somebody do a mural?
It's the kind of the world of street art and these kind of large-scale murals is kind of quite a small group of people, really. It's kind of, I mean, it's spread out all over the world, but it's kind of quite a small community, I guess, of these very large-scale mural painters, which I'm lucky to sort of fit into. So I think Kevin originally saw my work on Instagram, and he was in Miami at a street art event. And he was actually speaking to some fellow UK street artists that I know, and he wasn't sure who the artist was, and they basically told him it was me. So then he, you know, looked my work up and immediately kind of felt that my work would be suitable. I mean, when I spoke to Kevin, his immediate attraction to my work was the way that I use spray paint in a painterly way, because I mean, I do have a traditional art kind of education, I guess. Mm. So I'm a painter and I'm an illustrator, and I paint with watercolors and oils and acrylics. Spray paint is no kind of jumping on a bandwagon trying to be cool with aerosols kind of thing. It's just acrylic paint in aerosol form, and it allows you to paint. You just get fantastic effects with it. So just purely as a tool, it's an amazing tool for an artist. So, you know, to get that scale as well. But going back to what you said, I think, so just from there, Kevin fired off an email and said, would you like to come to Eureka to paint a wall? And I obviously said, well, that sounds very interesting. Where's Eureka? And he obviously said California. And then he showed me the wall, and I said, yeah. And it was pretty quick, quite a quick sort of decision. I mean, I try and prioritize new places. Well, in fact, I do. I always prioritize a new place over any other sort of murals that I have potentially coming up. So it's kind of, so when he said California Eureka, I said definitely. So that was kind of how we got started, and then yeah, we just I came over and did it. So it was kind of quite a simple process, I think.
Do you have a name for the mural that you've given it?
I have now. Yeah, I do. I kind of do. Sometimes I have the name before, but because I don't really ever know what I'm going to paint, I like to have a bit of time afterwards to kind of think of a name. But I've called it Electric City. But it's also electricity, because that wasn't actually intentional, but obviously it is electricity, Electric City. But it's just, yeah, and it just reflects that whole kind of energy that I was trying to put into it, that kind of life and energy. I don't want to paint static imagery, static, you know, still sort of scenes. I want to paint things that have movement and energy and kind of life to them, and a lot of colour, because I think that kind of, you know, it almost kind of radiates an energy. And that hopefully, you know, people can pick up on that, and it's a positive thing. Maybe subconsciously, but it's a positive thing. I don't want to paint sort of dreary, negative imagery. Even though it is raining in the scene, I think it's a positive thing.
Yeah, I was going to say that in the mural. I mean, there is. So I'm right. I'm seeing water.
Yes. No, it's okay. It's a rainy street scene. But I mean, for me, that the dry. I mean, I have painted sort of dry street scenes and daylight scenes, but for me, it's that rain on the roads, and obviously predominantly roads and cities are quite wide, so you get it's almost like a river of colour, and it reflects the city. And that's another reason that I chose that idea, because of the height, I needed some height in the buildings, and that obviously then means I'm painting a city, because I need to get height in buildings. And then based on that, I need to counterbalance that kind of vertical height both ways. So that means I need to reflect the city in the road, and in order for it to reflect, it has to be wet, which means it's raining. And in order for that to work best, it needs to be at night. So there's all these little cues that kind of I tick off mentally that kind of make these decisions why I paint certain things. But for me, the rainy, reflective nature of puddles and that is just fantastic. It has kind of a dreamlike kind of quality to it, I think. Kind of blurry and not too precise and almost like, passing moments, sort of fleeting moments in a car, maybe looking down the street or something. But I quite like that. I kind of like that sort of feel. I don't want it to be too precise and too defined and too scrutinizable. It needs to be a bit more sort of loose and impressionistic, I think.
Dan Kitchener, Electric City, on the Buna Building at 2nd and G Streets in Old Town, Eureka. I'm Wendy Butler, and this is Art Waves on KHSU. As you heard on last week's program, Eureka Cultural Arts District is one of 14 districts serving as California's premier state-designated cultural districts. The Inc. People Center for the Arts is the lead on the partnership that includes the City of Eureka and other organizations. I spoke with Libby Maynard, who has been executive director of the Inc. People for 38 years. I had asked California Arts Council Chairman Don K. Harris this question, and I would like your response to this, your view on the relationship between arts and culture.
So to me, culture is the foundation of human society, and the arts contribute to culture. They're an important part. They're a very, the part that we see rather than necessarily the part that might be, say, ritualized in culture or perhaps the food culture. So the arts basically are what's left from a civilization once it goes away. And so they are very important in that aspect. The arts are also very important to help people see differently. That's, to me, the function of artists is to interpret the world around them, their society, and what's happening, and to present it in a way that can challenge people's views and enhance people's views, to educate and inform and to perhaps make it easier for us to see our differences as well as our similarities so we can get along better together.
Now, I have participated in, covered in different ways, the evolution in the past 20 years plus of the cultural district designation here at City of Eureka, because back when I was starting to report, there was a redevelopment agency and partnered with the Eureka Art and Culture Commission, which you're still on.
I'm kind of adjunct staff.
Okay. All right. And then the Humboldt Arts Council and the Inc. People Center for the Arts and Eureka Main Street to form a cultural arts resource district. I mean, this was many years ago, but I guess the difference then was that it wasn't recognized by the state, or was it?
Right. In 1992, when Eureka Main Street was formed, the arts were really the foundation for that formation, for advancing the economy and really rejuvenating and revitalizing the Old Town area to be a commercial district that's safe, that's a place that people would want to come to recreate and enjoy the finer things in life. So that was self-designated. And interestingly, that was one of the examples that the California Arts Council, when they were putting together the cultural district program, because this is a pilot program, they used that as an example of a successful cultural district.
Well, then that gave you an in right there when you were applying for this designation. Now, back to this designation. Annually, for the next 5 years, the Eureka Cultural Arts District will receive a stipend of $5,000.
Yes, that's correct. And there's a little bit of confusion about that, I think, because it's not a grant. It's not something that we can do anything really we want with. So they've stipulated that it should be used for technical assistance, which in this digital world means different things than what people in the arts think of when they think of technical assistance, which I've kind of redefined as how to do what you want to do better. So it has nothing to do really with technology, although it may be, you know, developing some kind of technology, either a website or, you know, social media or, you know, those kinds of things. But having people help us to develop those things that we may not have full capacity with.
Now, is there going to be an account, sort of a bank account of some sort for Eureka Cultural Arts District into which this money will be deposited? How is it going to work?
Right. The Eureka Art and Culture Commission has a Ink People Dreammaker project called Public Art Eureka, which it's my understanding at this point that's the vehicle that we're going to be using for some of these funds that will be raised, as well as other projects that are ongoing for the city of Eureka to support the Eureka Strategic Arts Plan.
And so the stipend of the $5,000 will go in through the Art
yes.
and Culture Commission.
Right. Yeah, the Ink People is the lead organization of the partnership, and the partnership consists of the Ink People, the City of Eureka Community Development Department, and Eureka Main Street.
You said it isn't just the money to do whatever with. The California Arts Council gave you guidelines. Now, what sort of things have you and other persons involved discussed as far as what you will do with this money that is going to be given you by the California Arts Council?
Well, I think everybody has lots of ideas, but we actually need to sit down and kind of work it out. And I've actually been waiting. I got the initial letter of award or designation. But they say within 30 days we'll be getting more specifics. So we'll be getting, I don't know, a contract or something, you know, that will give us more direction.
As you were saying, this is part of the strategic arts plan, because this is something that Rob Holmlund mentioned to me when we were interviewing about the strategic arts plan several months ago, that he or the Eureka Cultural Arts District group was going to apply for this designation. So the fact that this has come through and that this Eureka is now officially designated, and on top of that, Dan Kitchener has finished his amazing, huge mural on the side of the Buna Building, the historic building in Old Town Eureka. So that's right on track.
Right. And, you know, we have to thank Kevin Bork from Black Fawn Gallery, because he really is the one who made that happen in conjunction with the city. And we helped provide the insurance.
The insurance for the whole project.
Yeah.
Well, is the Ink People part of the Black Fawn Art Project group?
Not officially, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we just kind of came in at the last minute and said, okay, we can do this. We can make it okay for everybody by providing insurance.
Yeah, because this building was formerly, I think, still, or at least formerly owned by Kelly Martin.
Well, it is owned by Kelly
Horton. It is still owned by Kelly Horton. Yes. So it's too bad he's not here, because I would love to speak with him about. Had you had a chance to speak with him as the mural was going up?
You know, I haven't. And before that, the building was owned by Ann Pearson.
Right. I remember. I remember when she sold it to Kelly, because I covered it for the newspaper. That's how I met him, actually. Yeah. So he's got an amazing mural on the outside of his building.
Yeah, he's very excited about the whole Opera Alley project, that focus. So that and we've been getting really good feedback. We being, you know, City of Eureka, on that whole project, business owners and landowners, you know, and artists are very excited about making Opera Alley a wonderful place to walk, run, you know, stroll down, to be engaged and you know, not overwhelmed by garbage or anything like that. You know, just really clean it up and make it an art space, a community art space.
So finally, on your personal wish list to be able to do in the City of Eureka concerning arts and this cultural designation, what is one thing on your personal wish list that you would like to see fulfilled?
Well, we actually got finally, after like 5 years of trying, funding for we the Ink People partnered with Eureka Parks and Rec, and we received a Creative California Communities California Arts Council grant for $90,000, which is being matched 1-to-1. To create 8 interactive sculptural benches along the waterfront trail. So we'll be developing those guidelines for the request for proposals and sending it out within several months. It's a 18-month to 2-year project. But for me, the really big, wonderful thing that's also going to come out of that is for the grand opening, we're going to put on basically a cultural celebration in probably at Halverson Park somewhere, you know, celebrating all the cultures that are here represented in Eureka, and you know, just really educating and informing people and letting them see that other cultures are not scary, and that, you know, they're really wonderful and they have great food and all that kind of beautiful thing that makes a community rich and lively.
The Ink People Center for the Arts, Executive Director, Libby Maynard. And that's it for today's program. Art Waves is produced for KHSU at Humboldt State University. Listen to the regular broadcast of Art Waves weekly on Tuesdays at 1:30 p.m. Catch the program online at khsu.org. You can also download a podcast from iTunes. Until next time. I'm Wendy Butler, and thank you for listening.
Bill Evans was one of the great artists of the 20th century and of all time. If you dig modern jazz, tune in to Gone Sides, Tuesday starting at 8 p.m. I'm your host, Darius Brotman. That's 8 o'clock on Tuesdays on KHSU, your jazz station.
Hi, this is Ray from Car Talk. You know, for the last 30 years, you've had to put up with this. And we know it's been a struggle. Well, it's time for Car Talk to make room on this station for something new and hopefully a little more professional. You can still listen to us online, but here on the station, we hope you enjoy the next generation of great programs. And thanks.
Join us this Saturday beginning at 10 to hear Planet Money and How I Built This.
Arriving at Radiolab, a full immersion curiosity joyride.
What?
Wow.
No.
Yes.
It was like your body jumps.
Jumps and jumps. It's not smooth.
It's 11 million miles an hour.
Chup, chup, chup. Splat.
It was like...
What is wrong with you?
Tuesday evening at 7 on KHSU. Ladies.